Welcome back to Socks and Seven.
Welcome back to Socks and Seven. We are your hosts, Kevin Tebow, Jack Taggerman, Mason Reed. Back, and ladies and gentlemen, it is the eve of opening day. How are we feeling?
I mean, it doesn't get much more amped than me right now.
Probably the best Wednesday I've had in some time. I'm like a kid waiting for Christmas tomorrow morning. I'm not going to sleep at all tonight because I'm trying to listen for Santa, but it's really just the Boston Red Sox.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, dude, I feel fantastic. Like, all week, every single day, like, waking hour of this week since, like, Monday, I've just wanted to press the simulate to Thursday at 4 o'clock button. But, like, it didn't work. So, like, but now we're, like, 20 hours away. I can't wait.
Awesome, man. Awesome. And we get to watch Garrett Crochet pitch tomorrow.
Yeah. I like to think right now he's, like, about to get some
really good Z's. He's probably chilling, thinking, like, wow, my arm feels great. I'm going to, like, top 102 tomorrow. All my stuff's going to be working. If I were to go, like, doo-doo-doo, and I'm Garrett Crochet, that's what I'd be thinking.
Yeah, no, I mean,
inside the mind of Garrett Crochet.
I mean, he's probably, like, I don't know, probably just mocked a gas dinner, like,
yeah,
about to catch some Z's, like, and, like, he's gonna wake up tomorrow and, like, that left arm is gonna be loose. Dude,
he definitely has some nice carbs too. It's like the day before a marathon,
you know,
quick acting carbs, because we might need you for 120 pitches tomorrow, Garrett Crochet. You never know.
Might. I mean, I hope they let him cook. I hope they don't take him out after five or just, like, 70 pitches or not, but
yeah,
I think they'll let him go a little bit.
I'd probably guess
high 80s, low 90s, and that's if he's really throwing well.
Yeah,
I think even if he does throw, even if he does get the hook after five, like, I think he's gonna strike out 10 batters tomorrow. Like, I think that's how he'll start his season, probably 5 innings, 2 hits, 1 walk, 10 strikeouts.
The thing about strikeouts, and we all love strikeouts better than balls in play. Strikeouts does mean more pitches. So early in the season, if he's putting guys down by way of the K, his pitch count is going to get up there a little bit. But again, I'm fine if the hook's in the late 80s, if he's throwing well. I'm fine if it's low 80s, if he gets touched up a little bit. But I don't expect that to happen.
Yeah, I'm not too worried. I mean, they do have some good players on Texas, but I think when you averaging 18 Ks per nine, you should be pretty good.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was listening on the radio the other day, and they were talking like Garrett Cole is, like, Garrett Cole back when he was on the Astros before he became a big loser was, like, the closest to, like, 40% of batters face striking out. And I think he got, like, 39.3. I'm going to say Garrett Crochet strikes out 40, not even just 40, but 41% of hitters face this season.
Jeez, that'd be disgusting. How you guys feel about Christian Campbell making the team?
I mean, I'm obviously amped. I think that was kind of the plan the whole time. It kind of seemed like they were waiting for him to heat up. And he actually didn't really heat up in spring training until they announced that he was going to be starting the year in the bigs. So I think that's a weight off his shoulder, and now the kid can just go out and play good baseball.
Yeah, and he was, I mean, making plays left and right at second base. People were telling me that they were worried about his defense. He looks unbelievable out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and name myself, like, the number one Christian Campbell person on earth, like, right now. Like, that is my guy, bro. He's so tough. I cannot wait to go see him go, like, 2 for 3 tomorrow with a double.
Yeah. I think he looks good in 28, too. I think it's a good number. Can get those old JD Martinez jerseys and tape them over.
Yeah. Little Campbell.
Yeah. Campbell.
Yeah, that's my guy for sure, dude. Cannot wait to see him. Like, we have an everyday second baseman for like quite a long time, it looks like, because he in fact is younger than I am.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's like, we'll call it 8 o'clock just for the sake of math right now. So that means we're probably only like 16 hours from lineups dropping.
Yeah.
You know, I imagine it'll drop sometime around noon tomorrow.
I imagine right. Christian Campbell will be scrappy, like 8-hole, maybe 7-hole.
Yeah, so what do we think? Duran won.
That's
obvious. Sounds like. Did they say Devers is staying in the 2-hole?
Yeah, it'll be Duran, Devers, Bregman, Casas, Story. That's for sure. And then I think it'll be Willier after Story.
Yeah.
Campbell, Wong, Rafaela.
Yeah, it'll be Rafaela last, so it'll be just those last two, Wong and Campbell.
I wouldn't mind going Wong, Wong, Campbell, Rafaela, getting some speed, 8-9-1, going Campbell, Rafaela, Duran.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys are just going to rip up the bases and just, like, be in scoring position for Rafael Devers and Alex Bregman.
Yeah, if that's the case, if Christian Campbell's batting eighth and Sedan Rafaela is batting ninth tomorrow, they're going back-to-back-to-back off in, like, the eighth inning off of the reliever, like, for Geico. Like, I can almost promise you that. Like, they actually are going to go back-to-back-to-back.
They could. I also think there's a chance that Hamilton starts tomorrow just because of Aldi DeRighty. Maybe Cora will stick to his normal lefty-righty, but we'll see.
So you're saying no Campbell then?
I'm just saying there's a possibility. There's a decent possibility that David Hamilton starts tomorrow at second base.
Yeah, no, now that you said that, I'm like way less excited. But like,
I mean, if that happens, Campbell still probably gets an AB versus a right-handed or a left-handed reliever.
For sure.
Later in the game, so.
To be honest, as the number one Christian Campbell person on earth, I'm going to counter what Tebow just said, and I'm going to guarantee that Christian Campbell is in the lineup tomorrow. I'm going to guarantee that Christian Campbell is batting seventh or eighth in the lineup tomorrow, that it will not be David Hamilton. I do get for the future why, like, Hamilton would face righties and Campbell would face lefties, but I think opening day, you got to send the young buck out there. Like, he just made the team. Like, you got to get him out there. Like, he's ready to go, clearly.
Yeah, I agree. I think I would love to see Christian Campbell out there day one.
Yeah, like, there's no way that they just, like, announced he made it and everything. He's 22 years old. He's an absolute dog. And then, like, Cora's just going to be like, sorry, bud. Like, you're not in the lineup today. Like, I'm going to go ahead and guarantee that he's in the lineup tomorrow.
Yeah, that's probably facts. Probably facts.
It's going to be – again, I haven't tuned in live to much of the spring training. At the end of the day, it's spring training. It doesn't matter. But it's going to be weird seeing Willier and Devers in the lineup tomorrow. I feel we have seen next to nothing of either of them all off season. And, I mean, they're going to be playing baseball that matters tomorrow. So both of those guys rake, so I'm not too worried about it. But it is going to be interesting.
Yeah, definitely. I could see them both leaving Earth as well, just to throw that out there. Like, I could see both of them leaving for sure.
For sure. I do like Devers against Eovaldi. That's about the only person on the Red Sox that I like against Eovaldi. He does look like to shove it up our butt.
I did hear on 98.5 today that we were second in the Eovaldi sweepstakes. So, I mean, one can imagine what that rotation would look like should we had him. But who knows? We probably don't get Buehler if we land Nathan Eovaldi, so who knows?
Yeah, we definitely don't get Buehler, and I'm happy with the way. Like, I don't want to like jeopardize how I feel about Nathan Eovaldi, and like have him come back on the team and like stink, because like I feel like that would happen.
Yeah, you know? I could agree. I could agree with that take to a degree, because like I definitely don't want to dislike Nathan Eovaldi.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of my favorite, like, Red Sox pitchers. Like, oh, Nate's pitching today. It's Nasty Nate day.
Yeah.
I mean, he's in the latter half of his career, but I was looking at his his stats the other day, you know what you're going to get from him. You're going to get a high 3 ERA. He had walk issues 1 year. I think it was a couple years ago, but then last year he came back and had a super low walks per nine. So again, Rangers fans should be happy they have Nathan Eovaldi.
Yeah, and that guy rises to the occasion like nobody else. But I mean, we got our ace now, so yeah, sorry, Nate.
We just need to re-sign him, which I'm starting to get really sketched out about.
Yeah,
when he goes out and wins the Cy Young this year, it's going to be like at least $150 million more than what it would be if we were to extend him right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a small like 2% chance that we wake up in the morning and like around like 11 p.m. when like the lineups drop, or 11 a.m. when the lineups drop, they're like, oh, and by the way, we signed what's his goddamn? Or Garrett Crochet. Garrett Crochet to a 10-year, $100 billion deal.
Yeah, no, I'm so down.
I would not mind if we gave Garrett Crochet $100 billion.
No, I wouldn't mind either.
I don't think that would be – there's probably been worse deals in MLB history.
Yeah.
No, dude, to be honest, I wouldn't even be that pissed if we gave him like $140 million.
We're going to give him way more than that.
A lot more than that.
No, I said 140.
Yeah. Billion.
140 billion?
Yeah, dude, I'm now to give him a billion. last thing on, like, tomorrow, dude, like, I don't know. I'm just so excited to, like, watch Garrett Crochet throw the ball. Like, that's just awesome, dude. Awesome.
Yeah, and speaking about watching Garrett Crochet throw the ball, we'll be live watching it in the brand new studio. We'll be debuting it tomorrow. It's an awesome spot, and we're going to have some fun, watch some opening day baseball, do some gambling probably more than
box.
I should.
The Sox box. So, what, should we go live after, like, the fifth inning?
Yeah, once you guys get there, we'll go live for the later half of the innings, and then we'll just watch some baseball until we feel like time to pack it in.
So tune in for that, for show.
For show.
Yeah, I mean, there's like what? Are all 30 teams playing tomorrow?
No, it's like everybody besides the Rays and the Rockies.
Oh, okay.
I think they're Rays.
Also, I saw that there's a ton of afternoon starts tomorrow.
Yeah,
which is awesome.
There's 11 games that started at 3 or 4.
Yeah, it is kind of annoying though. There's not a single 1 o'clock game. Like, what are we doing? It's not even opening day. It's opening night.
I'd probably just do the Thursday. If the schedule makers were to push that back to Friday, we would have seen handfuls. I think I know the Sox have a night game Friday, but there's probably 1 p.m. starts across the league Friday, if I were to guess.
Probably. Just like put the Rays and Rockies on at 1 p.m. so I can get my baseball fix in, dude.
At the same time, do you want that to be the first game of the year? I know we've already had baseball, the Japanese games, that first pitch was like 6 in the morning, but
I'm so sick of those games.
Yeah, I mean, now that we've talked a lot on Red Sox opening day, like, obviously we're all pumped, but like to stretch it out to like a little further to the AL East, like Cutter is king, tweeted earlier. I could see any team in the AL finishing in last in the AL East finishing in last place besides the Red Sox. And I instantly liked that tweet because I'm so hip to that, bro. Did you see all right. I was looking like, dude, the Orioles are starting Zach Eflin. Like, come on.
I did see that.
That guy's not
their
awesome.
Their rotation stinks.
And I think losing Santander is huge. Bro, besides Rutschman, Henderson's out right now. Like, dude, they could start slow. The Rays are starting Ryan Pepiot. Like, dude, come on. That guy's chips. We're raking off him.
Yeah, but you know that, like, this year he's going to turn into, like, the next thing. Like, the next DeGrom. Like, that's just what the Rays do.
Yeah, the Rays have something special in their water in the bullpen. Or their pitching, because they just always have a guy coming up who nobody has ever heard of that just starts dicing.
Or heard of that, and it blowed everywhere else.
Like, that can be true, but, like, they can also come in last place because they kind of stink.
Yeah,
I mean, they might stink.
I would not be shocked if
And I this isn't my prediction, but I wouldn't be shocked if they were to win 70 games,
yeah,
65
and
games.
The,
like, I don't think
Blue
that
Jays
would really
stink.
surprise anybody.
I think the Blue Jays stink too. Like,
but
I think they stink.
At the same time, it wouldn't surprise me if either of those teams somehow won 84, 85 games. It's
I think the Blue Jays could sneak into the playoffs.
Yeah. And I'm not a Blue Jays hater as far as haters go, but I definitely wouldn't mind if they stink and just offload Vlad at the deadline, like to the Boston Red Sox. I wouldn't mind that at all.
No, I wouldn't be opposed to that.
And then, like I said, like I think the Orioles could start slow, and I think the Rays and Blue Jays stink, and we all know how we feel about the Yankees.
I mean, they stink.
All of us feel the same way about the Yankees. Jason Dominguez. Like, dude, that guy might stink. Anthony Volpe stinks. Cody Bellinger could be washed. Paul Goldschmidt could be washed. Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves, though.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think the Yankees are in trouble, and I don't think they're going to have a good season. And we were right in 2023, me and you, Mace, when we were saying that the Yankees were going to freaking stink, and they stunk, and everybody was calling us crazy.
Yeah, and then what did they do? They went and got Juan Soto, and then, like, they still didn't even win.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's just like, we know when a ball team is going to stink or not.
Yeah, and I think the Yankees are going to stink, and the Rays and the Blue Jays, and maybe the Orioles, too. The jury's still out on them. Dude, the jury's still out on them, in my opinion. They'll be all right, though. They can't get it done in the playoffs.
No, definitely not. I don't think they'll ever win a playoff game.
Yeah, they might go 0 for forever.
Now that we're talking about the league, do you guys want to get into our league predictions?
Yeah, I'm down. I'm down. Rip it off.
All righty.
I didn't write any down, so I'm going to just fire off the hip.
Go off the dome. Yeah. I almost did. All right, let's start off with the AL MVP. Who you got, Tags?
All right. So if you gave me $1 million to bet on it, I'm betting on Bobby Witt Jr. But if you were to give me $20 to bet on it, I have two long shots that I love. Royce Lewis, my guy, he is really tough. Dude, I'm not even joking, dude. If he can stay healthy, he's really good.
I actually, I'm laughing because I really like that. Like,
I'm a big Royce Lewis
guy. This team is not going to win nearly enough games for him to actually win MVP, but he's my guy, maybe drippiest in the league, Lawrence Butler.
I love those picks, dude.
Both of those guys are gas ball players. I actually wouldn't be shocked if one of them won the MVP.
Dude, I didn't see those coming at all. But, like, dude, Tebow, me and you know best. Like, when the bases are loaded, you do dog. Royce Lewis is a grand slam machine, dude.
Dude, I swear every time that he's playing, I look down at my phone. Royce Lewis, grand slam to left field.
And then a week later, you'll see that he got hurt again, which sucks. But I'm telling you, if he can put together a healthy season, don't be surprised if he's like sitting fourth or fifth in MVP voting in the AL.
Could be for sure, right. For sure.
For me in the AL, I'll start by saying, like, I would not be surprised to see Garrett Crochet get MVP votes. I wouldn't. But if, like Tag said, and I don't hate Bobby Witt, the Bobby Witt pick either, because, like, he's going to need to backpack the Royals if they want to do something like they did last year. Like, I think they also fall off a cliff too. But if they want to make the playoffs again, it's going to be because of him. But like Tag said, if you gave me $1 million to bet on it, I would probably take half of it on J-Ram and half of it on Devers. Like, I just think, like, those guys are clearly the two best third basemen in the AL and, like, clearly two of the best power hitters, and, like, they're both going to have huge seasons. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, definitely. Like, there's a really good chance that Garrett Crochet wins a lot of baseball games and he's going to get looked at for MVP for sure. Because, I mean, just based off where the team was last year, like, having value, like, just having an ace, like, that's going to make a big difference for the Boston Red Sox.
Where do you guys, before you go, you can still see me, right, Tiba?
Yeah.
Bird.
Let's hear it.
I just, like, if I had to put my money on it, it's going to be Bobby Witt Jr. because that team, like, would stink without him. But I will say this, like, especially with the Yankees, like, winning, like, 50 games this year. If Jarren Duran does anything close to a 9-win season again, like, he's going to win MVP pretty easily. Now that he's on the map and now that the Red Sox are actually going to win baseball games, if he has a 9-win season, he's going to win MVP.
Yeah, speaking of that anti-shout-out, like the opposite of a shout-out to MLB The Show, I mean, the Sox ratings are ridiculous. Jarren Duran's in, what, an 85 coming off a nine war season.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Anti-shout-out to you guys. We don't rock with you at all.
Boo!
Boo.
Yeah, no, and it stinks.
All right, a guy that I'm going to throw in here now that I'm looking that I forgot about that – well, I'll say two guys. Number one is Mike Trout. He won't win because he's on a horrible team. But, like, I think he's going to have a great, like, bounce-back season. Like, he's so due to stay healthy and rake. And I also love him, so. But then, like, who we're playing tomorrow, dude? Like, the Rangers, like, the more I've looked at the AL and, like, the whole league, like, I think the Texas Rangers are going to be a really good team this year. And Corey Seager is their guy. Like, Devers is our guy, so. I don't know. I think Corey Seager could be primed for a huge season as well.
Yeah,
but my official really pick, point. My official pick is Devers or Jose Ramirez.
Nice. All right, NL. I got Skeens.
Wow. Mm.
I got Skeens winning the winning the MVP.
I mean, if a pitcher's gonna do it, it's gonna be Paul Skeens.
75-1.
I don't hate the possibility of him going like sub 1.5 ERA again. Well, not again, but sub 1.5 ERA this year.
Yeah.
I know who you're going to pick. I know who Tags is going to pick.
Well, like I said, again, if you gave me $1 million and I had to place it, kind of hard to bet against Shohei Ohtani. But if you're looking for a guy that can win you some plus odds money, I'm going right back to Ronald Acuña Jr. He's gonna miss a little bit of time at the start of the year, but I mean the guy swipes bags for a living. He hits tanks for a living. Plays a solid outfield. I mean,
what's not to love about Ronald Acuña Jr.?
The voters aren't gonna care that he's missing a little time here in March and April when it comes around. So again, if Shohei is not there, my money's on Ronald Acuña Jr.
Yeah, I'm gonna like Tag said, like if I had $1 million in this one, it's really hard to not put it on Shohei. But I think again, I would go half and half. I got two guys here. Gotta show love to my boy King Tuck, wearing some new threads for the Cubs. He could have a huge season. And then I like Ellie a lot as well. Like I think Ellie's primed to have a huge season as well. Like he could honestly, like that Acuña MVP season where he stole what, like 70 some, like a ridiculous amount of bases. Like Ellie could do something similar to that this season, I think.
For sure. The only thing that gets me nervous about Ellie is that strikeout rate. Like he strikes out like nobody's business. And like the Reds kind of stink.
Yeah, what's his stand?
But dude, the Reds have Terry. The Reds have Terry Francona.
They do have Tito, which is like,
dude, you forgot pretty about cool. Them having Tito.
That is pretty cool. I did forget about that. They might be tough this year now that I think about
they
it.
They might be nice.
That brings us to Cy Young. I mean, AL Cy Young, we could probably all say it in unanimous.
Garrett Crochet.
Garrett Crochet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only other guy that I wanted to shout out, I think he's going to have a great year. Everybody knows I'm a velo guy. I think Hunter Brown's due for a heck of a season coming up.
Damn, he's only 20-1.
Yeah,
that's crazy. Yeah, I don't hate that.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously Schoobel too. Like he's definitely gonna have a good year too. But I mean, Garrett Crochet.
Yeah, my pick's Garrett Crochet for show. But for if show. I had to throw, if I had to throw in another guy, like to give some love to it. I would say Bryce Miller for the Mariners. It's never fun like facing him. I hope we don't have to face him one time this year. That'd be good. That'd be great for us because he's really good.
All right, we get ready for NL Cy Young?
Yeah, I mean, we can basically all just say it on three.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3, Paul Skeens.
Yeah, yeah.
The other guy I wanted to show, I did like honorable mentions for some of these. I did see this guy was the most bet, so it's probably super square. But Christopher Sanchez, I like sinker changeup guys. And I mean, the Phillies are good ball club.
Christopher Sanchez.
He is not winning Cy
Young. Dude, why is Christopher Sanchez only 25-1 to win Cy Young?
I saw he's the most bet NL Cy Young candidate.
Wait, so like, are people saying that like he's going to be nasty?
I mean, what's the reason to think he won't be?
I mean, that's kind of my guy, so I don't hate that. Yeah, that'd be pretty cool if he had a good season. But yeah, I mean, this award will likely go to Paul Skeens because he's really good at baseball. But another guy I would say is Spencer Strider. As long as he's like, he'll throw his name in the hat for this award at some point, and he'll give himself a better chance. Like the sooner he comes back, because I know he's not ready for opening day, but that's like definitely my guy.
Yeah, Spencer Strider's definitely like a really good pitcher and strikes out mad dudes for fun.
I agree.
And that brings us to Rookie of the Year and AL Rookie of the Year. I'm interested into what you guys are going to say, but you can just look at my name. It's going to be Christian Campbell. He's going to hit 20 home runs. He's going to hit 330, and he's just going to run away with this award.
Yeah, I agree. I think he already has the upper hand in terms of competing against the other Red Sox guys just because he's making the opening day lineup.
Yeah, well, it's not going to be J-ass on Dominguez. That's for sure. No. It will not be him. So, therefore, like, it will be Christian Campbell. But I would not be surprised to see Roman Anthony throw his hat in the ring for this, depending on when he comes up. Like, if he doesn't come up until July, he's not going to win it, obviously. But if he come, if circumstances fall out where he's up at the end of May, then I would not be surprised if he like absolutely rakes and bursts onto the scene. I would not.
For sure.
Can I start on National League Rookie of the Year?
Absolutely.
Because I absolutely love Dylan Cruz. Dylan Cruz is tough, dude. And I'm going to like say it like right now, like the Washington Nationals are my dark horse out of nowhere. Nobody saw a coming team of the season, and I think he's going to play a big role for them. So,
yeah, I mean, I got Dylan Cruz too. There's nobody better like in the National League who's a rookie than Dylan Cruz.
So I picked mine. So I looked at the favorite, which was Rokai Sasaki, and I was like, not doing that. I knew you guys were both going to pick Cruz, so I came up with a different name. And it's Luis Angel Acuña. He's actually good. Like,
yeah,
he got some time in the bigs last year. The Mets might like compete this year. I don't see why he can't win an NL Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, nobody's stopping.
Yeah, I don't see why Ronnie Mauricio couldn't win it either, or Rhett Lauder. Don't hate those guys to have good seasons.
For sure. All righty, let's just go through our division winners real quick. Starting with the NL Central, what do you guys got?
You want to start with the NL Central?
Yeah. So I got first on my list.
What a random division to start with, dude.
So Tebow and I were talking about this before you joined earlier. I picked the Reds to win the Central, but then in parentheses I put, holy hell, is this division horrible? Because I didn't realize, like, the Central on both whatever you want to call them, conferences, leagues, the Central division stink across the board. There's just going to be, like, you can say the Cubs, like, they upgraded, but are they going to be any more than a team that, like, will actually probably win the Central and then just get bounced? I find it hard to believe that that doesn't happen.
Well, to start, so your pick is the Reds?
Yeah.
I don't hate that. But, like, the AL Central has been miserable for, like, 20 years now. Like, just a really, really bad division. But the NL Central, I almost think like the exact opposite from you. Like, I think that this is a good division. I don't think the Cardinals are good, and I think the Pirates won't be good, but like they kind of are scrappy. But dude, I think the Reds, Brewers, and Cubs are all good ball clubs. Like, I think those three ball clubs could all be vying for playoff spots and even win a playoff series. Like, I would pick the Brewers here. I would pick the Brewers here. I like the Brewers a lot, but yeah, the Cubs are deservingly the favorite.
I mean, I don't know if I doubt if any of those teams you just listed only won 75, 80 games this season. I don't think that's like out of the realm of possibility at all.
I think that they can all win 85
the Cubs, to 90 the Cubs, games. The Cubs are like even money to win the division, and I still wouldn't be shocked if that team won like 80 games.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
I think differently. The NL is really good, though. The NL East and the NL West are really good.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I mean, the Brewers also lost Willy Adames and Devin Williams.
Yeah, I think that they have good – I think that they have a good staff and young guys that are ready to step up.
Fair. I got to get Manfred on the phone soon because we're overdue for a realignment. I mean, it's just been years on end of the – I mean, and that's, I guess, how it's going to be if you do it geographically. The big cities are the coastal cities. They're going to have more money. They're going to attract stars. But
so, Tags, is the Reds, I got the Brewers. Who you got, Tivo?
I'm going to go with the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Wow.
I think this is how Skeens wins his MVP and his Cy Young. I believe that he has a 20-win season and O'Neill Cruz has a breakout year.
Who else do you see producing? I mean, I actually like a lot of the players on the Pirates.
Yeah, Nick York.
They still have Key Brian Hayes, right?
Yeah. He's getting older, though.
That's four teams that like we all that I think could be good. Like, I don't think this division's bad at all.
No, I'm just saying I also wouldn't be shocked if all those teams were bad.
The Pirates could win 55 games this year.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get off of this crap division. Let's head over
which division are we bouncing to next?
We are heading over to the NL West. And it'll be the Dodgers that win this one for sure.
Yeah, I agree.
Hard
to think that they're not going to win 157 games. Yeah. They might only lose five games this year.
So the Dodgers could, like, very realistically win 125 or 130 games, like, realistically. And, they will win the division, but Diamondbacks kind of scrappy. I'm kind of a big Diamondbacks fan.
They got a good ball.
Don't be surprised if the Diamondbacks won 100 games.
I could see the Diamondbacks having, like, a high 80 win, maybe even low 90 win season. They're a wild card team because they're in there with the Dodgers, and then they just make noise in the NL playoffs.
Yeah, I could see the Diamondbacks winning 97 games.
97 is crazy, but I could see 95. I could see 95.
Okay. I could beat you there.
97 is crazy.
Crazy.
But, dude, winning two more games is crazy, but, like, I think they'll win two less.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, where are we bouncing to next?
Let's head over across the country to the NL East. Who do you guys got?
I mean, it's a tough division. The writing's on the wall for who I'm going to pick. I'm going to pick the Atlanta Braves. I love that team. I like a lot of their players. I'm not knocking the Juan Soto Mets. Thank you, Juan Soto, for picking the Mets over the Yankees. I appreciate it a lot. I hated playing against you. And the Phillies can pitch with anyone, and they have Bryce Harper. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that either of those two win, but I got the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah, I'm going to join you. I think they got healthy over the offseason. Obviously, Strider and Acuna are still coming back, and they'll be back soon. But when healthy, Spencer Strider's, if not the best pitcher in baseball, next to it. And if Ronald Acuna is healthy, he's, if not the best player in baseball, next to it. So I think they're going to return to their dominance.
Yeah, I agree. I really like the Braves a lot to win this division. And I think, like, once Strider gets back, if he's going, like, this is a really dangerous ball club. And I think the Phillies at this point, like, really good ball club, don't get me wrong. But, like, I think they're at a point now where they have, like, so many vets that it's just, like, oh, like, we're just going to – they don't – I don't think they care about, like, anything until it gets to the playoffs at this point. Like, they're pretty much penciled in for the playoffs unless something catastrophic happens. So I could see them just, like, doing what it takes to get in. And then, dude, like I said, like, the Nationals are sitting there 80-1, dude. Oh, my God. That's not – it would never happen, and it won't happen, but, like – I don't know. I really like the Nationals.
Yeah. And, like, speaking about the Phillies, I think their window is closing, if not already closed. I think Bryce is getting older. Schwarber's getting older. Castellanos looks like he's moving on, like, two or half a leg. So I don't know how much longer. Like, obviously, their pitching's really good, but I don't know how much longer they got for their championship window.
Where are we going to next?
Let's head to the AL Central.
Okay, we're starting in the Central. I like it again. I'll start here. I'm going to take – actually, I thought I liked my pick, but now I don't. I'm gonna switch from the Tigers to the Indians. I'm going to go Guardians.
Guardians.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, like, even – like, I mean, like I said about the Reds, like, them acquiring Tito. Like, Tito's a great coach. Look what he did with the Guardians, you know? And, like, I feel like even after losing Tito, like, the Guardians just have a good enough pitching staff and Jose Ramirez to, like, win this division. That's just the way I feel.
Yeah, Steven Vogt's also a really good manager, too.
Yeah, I agree.
You want to go or you want me to go?
You got it.
I got the Royals. Again, I think Bobby Witt's going to win the MVP. He might steal 376 bases this year. That guy just has burners. They lost one pitcher. It's skipping my mind which one they lost, but they still have Reagans. They still have Salvador Perez behind the dish. I think it's their division to lose.
Yeah, and like I was thinking about going with Kansas City, but I just remembered that like the Tigers are fucking scrappy. You know, we got Carpenter, Jackson Joe, Max Clark coming up this year. Like, they're a really, really tough team. And, like,
I like this pick. Yeah.
I can't believe Max Clark didn't come up in the AL Rookie of the Year conversation, but obviously it was just going to be Christian Campbell. But, like, they have a really, really tough, like, team. And, like, Jackson Joe is also a really, really tough pitcher. And that could be a nasty 1-2 punch with Tarik, obviously. If not the best pitcher in baseball, second behind Garrett Crochet.
Yeah, I like the Tigers a lot. I do.
Yeah. I mean, that division, like, it's going to be low-scoring games for sure.
Clark must not be eligible.
Really?
Because I don't see him anywhere on the odds.
Oh, Job, true.
Job is eligible. But all right. I mean, again, I like to avoid the Yankees talk, but Jay Asson Dominguez being the favorite to win AL.
Yeah, no, I already said that. It's ridiculous.
Squarest bet on the board.
Well, yeah,
how old is Max Clark?
I have no idea.
You think he's coming up, dude? I don't know. Maybe he's like not coming up this year. Did you just like spew that off your dome, Tebow?
Maybe I did.
No,
I assumed he was coming up this year.
I've definitely used his card in the show for like last year, maybe even the year before. So he might just not be eligible anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I could have sworn that he was coming up this year, but maybe not.
Yeah,
maybe the books just don't think he's that good of a ball player. I don't know.
But, I mean, dude, moral of this division, like this could be like an incredible division race in August, like. That's like four. Well, obviously the White Sox are going to lose 130 games, but like, or like at least 110. But like those four teams all think that they could win the division. So like, I don't know. That could be like fun. That could definitely be fun.
Yeah, Max Clark is definitely not coming up this year.
What did he play? Double A last year?
Not even. He played double A last year. He was an IA last year.
Really.
It's all right, Tebow.
Spew.
Yeah.
But still, Tigers.
Who knows, dude? He could have the Christian Campbell double A season this year.
Exactly. You never know. Could rise through the ranks pretty quickly.
How old is he? Do you still have it up?
20. He's 20 years old.
Yeah, he's 20 years old. So, I mean, that's the same age as Roman Anthony.
Anthony, yeah. All right, where are we going to next? AL West?
Yeah, we're heading out west. AL West. And I got a really nice pick for this one. And that is going to be your Sacramento Athletics. They are going to have a nasty year this year. Lawrence Butler's going to cook. Brent Rooker's going to cook. Luis Severino's going to have a damn near Cy Young season. And the boys in Sacramento are going to be fired up.
All right.
I got the Rangers overcoming their 0-4 start to the year and winning the AL West.
I agree with Thags. I like that. I like that a lot, actually. I mean, the Mariners definitely have the staff, but I don't know. I think I'm very high on the Rangers. I'm also like, I'm not as big of a Sacramento Athletics fan as the biggest Sacramento Athletics fan, Kevin Tebow. But like, I'm starting to pick up what you're putting down on them, Tebow. Like, I don't hate them. I don't hate them to be scrappy.
JJ Bleda, nasty.
I like Brent Rooker, so I'm not hating. But the show gave him like a nutty high overall card. I want to say they gave him like a 91 or a 93.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, that is pretty nuts. He did have. All right,
are we going to the AL East?
We're heading to the AL East, and this is going to be full standings.
All right. I'm going to start. I'm going to go with the Red Sox in first place. I'm going to go with the Orioles in second place. I'm going to go with the Rays in third place, only because of Junior Caminero. That's the only reason that I think the Rays are going to be any bit good and find a way to squeak into third place in this division. And then I'm going to go, this is tough. Who do I put in fourth place? The Blue Jays will come in fourth in this division, which only leaves one team to come in last place, and we all know who it is.
Yankees.
As much as I'm laughing, like you said, the Cutter is King tweet, like, it kind of got me thinking.
I read that and I was like, wait, like, the Yankees could actually come in last.
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna take another Aaron Judge 10. He might need a 30 WAR for them to make the playoffs this year. Like, he is their only good player, given he's the second best player in baseball, probably, unfortunately. But my list, I got Red Sox, Orioles, Yankees, Rays, Blue Jays. And I think it's going to be tight again. I don't think any of these teams are much better or worse than the next besides the Red Sox. I got the Sox at 92 wins, the O's at 89, the Yankees at 85, the Rays at 78, and the Blue Jays at 75.
Do you think Vladdy gets traded at the deadline?
I think if the Blue Jays know what's good for them, they'll offload them at the deadline. If they're competing, they obviously won't. And again, they've just been shoving money at guys and nobody wants to take it. So I do feel bad for the Blue Jays organization, but it doesn't seem like Vladdy's at all interested in re-signing there. So I think unless they're sitting pretty comfortably into at least a wild card spot at the deadline, I think they should get rid of him.
Yeah. I got the Sox, the O's, and I'm higher on the Jays than you guys. I think they picked up Santander. I think that helps their rotation or their lineup a lot. They didn't really have any power lefties. You know, Varsho could have a bounce back year. They picked up Andres Jimenez, who's like a decent ball player too. I think they got
Bo Bichette kind of raked in spring training. I'll throw that in there.
Yeah, but he also lost all of his aura by cutting his hair.
So yeah, that's true.
He might.
And also, I'm looking at this Xavier Edwards. He's on the Rays, right? Yeah, his stolen base. I'm pretty sure he is. His stolen bases line is 44.5. So like that guy might be swiping bags.
For sure. But yeah, and like I think Bassett's a decent pitcher, but he might be washed. Jose Berríos and Kevin Gausman is going to have a bounce back year. I don't know what last year was about. He stunk last year. Kevin Gausman like dices for a living. He'll have a good year this year. And I think they do whatever they can to hold on to Vladdy, and it doesn't do anything. They don't trade him, and it screws him in the end because he won't re-sign. And I think it'll be similar to the Angels and Shohei situation where they just buy at the deadline just to try to keep him, but it's worthless, and then they're going to be bottom of the barrel for the next 20 years.
Yeah, I think that's, like, a really good take. I think that's probably what will end up happening.
And then I got the Rays fourth, and then the Yankees stink last.
I love that from you, I mean, Tebow.
Their rotation stinks. Will Warren, who the fuck is that guy?
Yeah, that just has Devers leaving Earth far distance written all over it.
Yeah, and like Carlos Rodon fucking stinks. Like, he stinks. And like, I don't know why they're not having Max Fried go out there first, but like, I'm not even that high on Max Fried this year. Like, he's a contact pitcher. I hate contact pitchers in the MLB nowadays. Like, eventually you're just going to get lit up when it matters most.
Yeah, and then Marcus Stroman, like, really stinks.
Oh, yeah, he's terrible.
And also, I know he just got hurt, but Clark Schmidt also really stinks.
Yeah.
So they have two guys that they're going to, like, be relying on who really stinks. So.
And so, obviously, they lost Cole, and the Sox have had success against Cole, but he does shove against the rest of the league. But even if Cole was healthy, that losing Soto, like not having Soto to cover Judge makes a huge difference in that roster. They're going to need a lot of these guys that are in the Yankees retirement home to go back to how they were.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, like, if I could just throw in one thing, like, I just think, like, I think that Yankees fans are just like, oh, like, we got Cody Bellinger and Paul Goldschmidt. Like, of Cody Bellinger and Paul Goldschmidt is just as good as Juan Soto. Like, not even close, dude. Like, Soto is a really special player, and you let him go. Like, you only got to have him for one season, and you still didn't even win. So, like, I'm sorry. You guys are going to stink.
I think they'll quickly realize how much of a difference it makes not having all those Soto walks and having him on base for the Judge at-bats is going to make. Like, it was unfair having two hitters as good as those two back to back in a lineup. So I think early and often they'll realize how important he was.
I agree. I think their lineup stinks. Giancarlo, like, he had a really good postseason, and that's the only reason why that team went anywhere in the postseason. He literally carried them on his back, and he's out for the year with double tennis elbow. Like, that lineup stinks.
Yeah, and Judge also sucked really, really bad in the playoffs. So, like, he might just come into this season and be like, what's the point if I hit 50 home runs in the other season? Just to suck again in the playoffs. Like, I'm a big phony that nobody, like, really likes.
We could get depressed Aaron Judge this season. Like, first pitch of the MLB season's tomorrow. Like, that's not out of the realm of possibility. He might just sulk the whole season because he doesn't have Juan Soto, or like, the opposite of a playoff riser.
Yeah, he could become King Mope.
He might become King Mope.
And like, dude, I wouldn't put it past him to be like, oh, my toe hurts, I'm not playing for the next 40 games. Like, dude, they could actually suck.
Yeah.
And then he also might have 13 more. That's not out of the realm of possibility, too. He could hit 70 home runs.
Yeah, yeah.
He definitely could.
He could. He could hit 60 home runs.
And the Yankees might still not make the playoffs.
Yeah, that's what's, again, they're going to run into issues unless Bellinger, who I actually liked prior to him becoming a Yankee. But, yeah.
Me too, honestly. I did like Cody Bellinger, but sorry, bro. Like, you kind of suck now.
All right. A little quick rapid fire segment. Let's get this wrapped up. Crochet ERA. I got him at 2.32.
I had 2.61.
Damn, 2.32 is low. I'm going to say 2.17.
Okay. I got him at 17 wins.
Oh, I had 16.
19.
All right. Devers homers. I got him at 45.
I had 31.
47.
Durant triples. I got 14.
I had 17.
Jeez.
18.
You know how many you had last year?
What do you have? 19?
21 triples last year.
Jesus Christ, yeah. Dude.
Yeah.
Wait, I actually didn't know that. What's like the all-time MLB record for triples?
Yeah, I mean, it had to have been like...
I can check real quick.
Who is the most
triple record?
Ricky?
Dude, that's Chief Wilson.
Chief Wilson with 36.
In 1912, he had 36 triples. How is that even possible, dude?
Boy, Chief Wilson.
Wait, every single player on the list is in the 1800s.
Wow, yeah. Dave Orr back in 1886.
If you can, like list it by year, see who, like, has the most in the 2000s.
Curtis Granderson hit 23 in 2007.
Yeah, so that was right around where Jeremy. Curtis Granderson.
You said 23?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, and that's like, he's the only person on here that was like after 1950. So, yeah, I mean, that's actually really impressive stuff from Jaren Duran. Chalk him up for 18 triples again this season.
Yeah, for sure. Lastly, on this quick segment, who do you guys think? I think it's going to be really interesting to see who wins this. The Duran, Devers, and Bregman double. Like, who's going to have the most doubles? I think it's going to be really close. Like, Bregman's going to fall in love with that monster. Duran's going to have his triples, and Rafi just rakes. So,
yeah, I picked Duran just because of how many singles he's going to stretch into two bags. Again, I don't hate what you said about Bregman loving the monster. I wouldn't be shocked if he finds it on April 4th, maybe even a couple times. And then again, like, I think Devers might hit too many bombs. I like Jaren Duran.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to agree with you there.
Yeah, I mean, for Tag, like, same reasoning Tag said. Like, I think Devers is just gonna hit too many balls over the fence, and I think Jaren Duran is gonna turn too many doubles into triples. So, like, therefore, I think Alex Bregman might hit like 55 doubles.
Yeah, he could hit 55 doubles. All right. Let's do some closing thoughts. What are you guys most excited about for opening day?
I'm probably going to hit a parlay. So I am pretty excited to do that. I'm pumped to see all the buttons you can press again on the MLB.
Yeah, no, great. Me and Tags are huge MLB prop aficionados, and Tebow too. Like, it's just definitely the best sport. Like, bro, you bet on somebody to get a hit. It's a gas bet. Like, they get to get up and, like, if they get a hit, that's nasty.
I did see today from booking with Trent. He just posted his, like, MLB season long whale. It was over 4.5 Paul Skeens games with 10 or more strikeouts. That seems like a maybe even before the break line. Yeah. I wouldn't be shocked at all if he hits that. He might hit that by June.
Wait, games like that he has 10 strikeouts?
Yeah.
It was 4.5. So he only has to get 5 games with 10 strikeouts?
What was that line at?
It was on Prize Pick, so I think all the Prize Pick stuff is just even money.
Huh.
Yeah, no, I don't hate that at all. I wonder what Garrett Crochet's is for that. Oh, my God. He's going to have, like, he might have 14 games with 10 strikeouts.
I did see, I think you can get, I forget if it was 2 or 3, but even, like, FanDuel and DK offer it. You can do over under, like, 2.0, 3.0, 4.0 ERA for, like, all the top guys in the league.
That's
sick. Really?
Yeah. Like, I think you can get DeGrom, like, under 3 ERA at a pretty good price.
Yeah, no, I mean, dude, I'm definitely excited for that aspect of the MLB, like, league-wide as well. Like, obviously, I'm clicking the Sox ML button every single day the whole season, like, but, like, league-wide as well. But, like, yeah, I mean, number one thing that I'm most excited for opening day. I've said it like 10 times now. It's Garrett Crochet. Like, literally can't wait to see this guy pitch tomorrow. Like, it's going to be awesome. I'm pumped. He's going to blow it by, guys. Like, I realized earlier that Jake Berger and Jock Peterson are on the Rangers. And, yeah, I mean, like, I haven't seen a clear combination of guys who are going over five with four strikeouts tomorrow, like, than the two of them. So that'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, that's for sure. I did forget to go over the pitching matchups real quick for this game.
First series preview. Let's go, baby. We're back.
Obviously, tomorrow, Garrett Crochet versus Nathan Eovaldi. That should be unbelievable. And then game two, I believe, is Jack Leiter versus Tanner Houck. And then Thursday, I believe, is Walker Buehler versus I forget who it is.
It was like a five-letter last name that I can't think of.
We definitely know him, too. Hold on.
Yeah.
Hold
up. Is it like Kane? It's not Kane, but it like looks like that.
You said Kumar Rocker made the team, Tebow. I'm not saying it's him. But...
No, he's going up. He's their fifth starter.
Damn. And Jack Leiter's their number two.
Well, yeah. They're all out of order right now because they're throwing DeGrom fourth.
Oh, okay. So who is this guy that we're missing?
It's Tyler Molly.
Oh, yeah. I don't hate him. So, yeah, I mean, dude, we're facing three pretty live arms back-to-back-to-back days.
And then the last game is Dick Fitz versus Jacob DeGrom, which should be another show.
Yeah, so four really live arms back-to-back-to-back-to-back days. Like, I'm excited to watch some high-level baseball be played on a field.
Yep. Well, I'm super excited. I can't wait for this team to, you know, ruin my days, make my days. I'll be having an awesome day, and they'll, you know, Aroldis Chapman will walk the bases loaded and give up a grand slam and ruin my weekend, and I'll be sad until the Red Sox play again. Yep. That's what I'm most looking forward to this baseball season, is my mood being decided not by what I do with my life, but by what nine other guys do. So that's what I'm excited about.
I agree. And last thing, I'm going to wake up tomorrow and it's going to be Crochet Day. Like, yeah. How awesome is that, man? Like, we've been waiting for Crochet Day for so long. Also, Sox and Seven just trademarked Crochet Day, so don't try to use that. That's our thing. We made it. Tomorrow is the first Crochet Day of the year and of the Red Sox organization, boys. Let's start strong.
Yeah. I might wake up tomorrow, get out of my bed, just play the chicken dance and go like this.
I'm actually sleeping in full Red Sox uniform tonight. I'm going to be up and ready to go.
Dude, this might be me tomorrow morning when I wake up, right? Like, I'm sleeping, like, I'm fast asleep, and then, like, I sit up, like, wicked out of bed, and I just yell at the top of my lungs, "It's Crochet Day!" It's going to be nasty.
Going to be nasty. All righty, gentlemen. We'll see you guys tomorrow at the Sox Box Live. Go Sox, kid.
Sox, kid. Sox, kid.